The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast. Come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my cap, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendant, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth.' Many are invited, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The hook in today's parable is one that's particularly disconcerting, perhaps, one that should disturb us a little bit. And it's not necessarily the hook that we might expect. Matthew's gospel in this parable contains a different hook than the other gospels, Luke's gospel in particular. Matthew tells us that God has invited all to the wedding feast of his son, and perhaps some just decided they weren't going to come to the feast, it's something that I've talked about before. They're just simply too busy. That nice four-letter word, right? They go to his farm, go to his business, just go about daily life, just simply too busy to come to the feast. Too busy. Nope. Maybe apathy. Maybe that's why they I'm not going to pay attention to that invitation. And they just go away. But others have a little bit more than apathy. They're actually murderous. Maybe they didn't want the king as king. Maybe they refused to acknowledge that the king's son, who was going to be married, would someday be king over them. Maybe for whatever reason, but they literally kill the messenger. This is a little overreaction, perhaps. And the king kills them. But even then, that's bad enough. Just for rejection of an invitation, they're killed. Or they're ignored, they're cast out. Well, that makes sense when we acknowledge that the invitation is to the eternal banquet feast that we hear about in today's first reading, as Isaiah prophesies that on this mountain the Lord will feed all nations, gather all nations to himself, will give them rich food and rich drink, that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, death will be no more. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? But if we reject the invitation, we don't get a share in the promise. And that makes sense. But then the king sends out his messengers to others. Go to the highways and byways. Go to the ones that weren't initially invited. Now, there is a little bit of a hook, but that even isn't all that bad. Bring them in. And bad and good alike are brought in. I think that's an important phrase here. Bad and good alike are brought in, and the banquet hall is filled. And the king is probably feeling some relief. After all, these are the days before refrigeration. The fattened calf is slaughtered, everything is prepared. It's going to either go to waste or it's going to go to somebody's mouth. It has to. There's no in-between. You can't put it in the refrigerator. There are no refrigerators. The king perhaps is glad. My banquet hall is filled. All this food that I've prepared will not go to waste, and at least somebody recognizes my son's wedding. And he comes in. and he sees a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. And he's thrown out. There's the hook. Isn't that a little scary to think, well, I accepted the invitation. Here I am at the banquet. What more is needed? What more do I need to do? And this man is confronted by the king, and he's reduced to silence. He doesn't have any words, any response. And to tell the truth, our patristic fathers, church scholars and biblical scholars debate, what does this mean, the wedding garment? What does it have to do with, why is it so important that this man is tossed out, thrown out into the cold, thrown out where there'd be wailing and grinding of teeth? An image of hell, by the way. Why is this man cast into hell? After all, he accepted the invitation. And what's scary and what the hook is for us is, haven't we accepted the invitation too? We're here this morning. We're here not just because our alarm clocks told us to get up and it's time to get up, not just because our body said it's time to get to stop slumbering. We're here because we felt God calling us. We felt the invitation of God to gather here at this mountain. As we gather at every Eucharist, we gather at the foot of Calvary. We've responded. We've said yes. Are we going to be cast out? Are we going to be thrown away? That's the hook. And it's all in the wedding garment. Why was this man? What about the bad people? Why weren't they thrown out? What was it about the wedding garment? St. Augustine tells us that he thinks the wedding garment is charity. Putting on acts of charity and putting on love, of being there, able to serve the Lord, able to serve others. I think that's a good thing. But I think it might be even deeper than that. It might be the very act of conversion, which is why bad and good alike are there. They may have been done terrible things, bad things. But there they are, gathered. And their hearts changed by accepting the invitation, changed by a willingness to say, I need to make a change in my life. Changed by understanding that the God who called them to change, called them to conversion. And even more profound, that they had to trust in the Lord. Trust that the Lord would keep his promise. Trust that the Lord would love them. Trust in the Lord that the Lord would provide for them. After all, today in our second reading, we have St. Paul telling us, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know how to live in extraordinary circumstances. In all things, the key is finding the strength that is in Christ. Knowing to trust the Lord, that the Lord does provide all that we need. And once we come to that place of trust, it changes everything. We've accepted that invitation to the Lord this day. And the invitation is to trust. An invitation to convert our lives, to trust in the Lord, and to say that if this is true, that the Lord invites us to the banquet feast, do we trust him enough to know what we are gathering for? That here we will encounter the Lord? That here the Lord who in the end times will wipe away every tear can wipe away our tear right now? That the Lord who provides for all nations is providing for us? Or are we simply here because we've accepted the invitation but haven't really prepared our heart, haven't put on that wedding garment of trust, haven't put on that wedding garment of conversion? How do we prepare our hearts and minds for Mass? I think it's simple, to tell the truth. It's looking at the readings before we come, maybe the week before. Look at the readings of what is it that the Lord wants to say to me? Because I am not naive. I know my homilies sometimes don't reach you. But something in the readings might that didn't reach me. And if you're prepared your heart and mind, if you prepared your heart and mind to know that the Holy Spirit will talk to you, will speak to you, will say something to you at every single Mass, when you come, you'll be ready for an encounter. When you come into Mass, not only that, but to take a moment, Lord, here is a place of encounter. Here is where I'm going to encounter you. Here is where I'm going to experience you. And to be aware, he's going to come if we only have our eyes open. A number of years ago, I read, I think it was a poem, I don't remember fully, it might have been a nice piece of prose, but it was by a Catholic author, a woman, who shared that she thought that every pew should be equipped with seat belts, and as everyone be given crash helmets, because we are in for an encounter with the Lord, and yet so often, we don't expect that encounter. And so often when we leave, it's like we didn't have an encounter because we didn't trust, perhaps. I heard a quote by Mother Angelica, the founder of EWTN. Mother Angelica said, "I don't fear failure. What I fear most is standing before the Lord at the end times and saying, 'Look what you would have done if you would have trusted me more.'" I think that's for all of us to remember. And the heart of a steward is trust. A trust that the God of the universe will provide for us. A trust that whether we have humble circumstances or extravagant circumstances, the Lord has provided all of it. And that he wants us, loves us, invites us to the eternal banquet. And that when we put on trust, when we put on the act of conversion, when we trust him more and more and more, we can experience him more. And we can call others to experience him more. Trust, in the end, is very difficult. But in the end, it's also very easy. It means giving our hearts to the Lord, of saying, "This day I expect to encounter you because you promised that you would be here. You promised that you would invite us. You promised that we would experience that eternal banquet. And here at this Mass, we have just a foretaste."